everybody. Welcome to A Glass of Wine. It's a Friday night. How are we all feeling tonight?
Tired.
Sleepy.
I'm just regular old me.
Fantastic! Well, as always, we have our regular hosts in front of me.
Zane C. Weber.
To his left.
I am Gina Schwartz.
To her left, because I know directions well, I'm Andy Schosser, of course. To my left.
I'm Chanstar Anderson again.
Returning from last week and returning from a fortnight ago. To his left.
Joe Diskin.
Hooray! And he's nothing if not a geometrist.
That's exactly right. I work my way around methodically. I've angled it out with my sextant and my trigonometry skills. I have those.
I will say your geometry skills have improved since last week.
And they most certainly have. I got confused very quickly on. And it had nothing to do with the wine.
Who would have thought we are one wine deeper and your geometry skills are only improving?
You see, clearly I haven't drunk enough.
Oh, okay then.
Clearly he learned geometry while drunk.
That's exactly right. I should have been drinking in my teens and I would have had a PhD by now.
That's what they don't tell you. It's a good reason.
But keep that on the down.
I personally think the people who were drinking at 16 probably
are pregnant.
Generally not.
excuse me, I was drinking at 16 and I'm currently working on a master's and PhD, so.
Okay, but you
weren't working on a master's when you were 16.
No, I wasn't. I was working on my high school diploma.
You're the exception, not the rule.
Well, tonight.
Yeah, maybe.
Tonight we are drinking a Cabernet Sauvignon called Chateau Vacant from Bordeaux in France.
The famous Bordeaux.
The very famous Bordeaux, not to be confused with Bordeaux, Kansas.
Correct.
I was confused until you said that, so thank you for clearing that up.
I hope there is a Bordeaux, Kansas, actually. I was like, or a Bordeaux, Missouri or something.
Well, even if it's not the famous one. No, no one cares exactly right. About it.
There is a Texas in Queensland.
There is.
And a Paris, I'm sure, somewhere.
Less impressive than their European and American counterparts.
Yeah.
What do you guys think on sniffing this wine?
It's really weird.
It's a weird experience.
Explain what is happening to me, little piece of paper.
Let me read off the tasting notes for you, or at least an excerpt from them. The nose is very lifted with bright floral notes of rose petal and lavender. The fruitiness of the wine is really appealing. Lots of sweet raspberry and strawberry. Certainly more fruit forward and without the bite of more traditional Cabernet Sauvignons.
I don't know.
See, I get a lot more savory than that.
Yeah.
I'm getting the sweet, but like I really am getting like jalapeno from this.
See, when you say jalapenos, I smell jalapeno cheese. When you have
cheese. Barbecue sauce. Like that really, really
that.
Sweet but savory and salty.
I think that's the through line in all. Like it's that sweetness, but it has a savory side to it.
I smell like sweet barbecue sauce. I smell the bite as well. It's like the barbecue sauce is biting me.
Yeah, it says less bite, and I assume that's in the taste because in the smell, it's very biting.
Well,
yeah.
Unlike almost every other wine out there, this wine tastes exactly like it smells.
Oh, what?
Oh. Yeah.
Now I'm scared.
Okay. Zane's pulling
a
face.
That's a weird experience.
Okay, I'm going to take a sip.
It's like a magic potion.
What the fuck?
Until you said it, Joe, the jalapenos, I didn't smell it, but it does taste like a jalapeno popper,
I get what?
It, and then it's like it explodes with smoke in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's not an unpleasant experience.
No.
But it's certainly not familiar.
This is a weird wine.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I'm really enjoying this glass. I wouldn't drink a bottle, but I really am enjoying this glass.
I have to say, Chateau Vacant, you have surprised
us. It tastes cheesy.
Cheesy?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what Chanstar said. Yeah.
And smoky.
And smoky cheese. In liquid form with wine and alcohol.
I do, if you take like the tiniest little sip, it's not as weird. So if you're like doing sip by sip, it kind of tastes like a normal cab sav. But drinking this like a normal human would, it is bizarre.
I wonder if you had a spoonful of cream cheese or something, if that would wildly
change
the flavor.
You're right, it would pair so well with cream cheese.
Well, this wine has been brought to us by the Wine Gallery.
Wine Gallery.
Thank you, friends.
.com.au.
We've got to make that into a ringtone.
I think I've just started it. Now I need to like keep doing it.
Yeah, you have to.
You know what I mean?
The audience expects it.
Yes. That's what the people want, Zane.
So if you don't know about the winegallery.com.au, they are a wine club, a monthly wine club. Go online, take their palate quiz, and they will recommend for you wines that will suit your flavor. But of course, you're welcome to choose whatever you like.
So they're all about showing you new and different wines from around the world, but also from Australia. But you can also pick and choose the wines you get every month if you find some that you particularly love and you do not like change like me.
If you are picking and choosing and you are into change, opt in for the fourth bottle because that makes delivery free.
Did you say free?
Completely free. They write off the delivery. They give you virtually, they discount half a bottle of wine and say, so there you are.
And I will say, if you want to brag, get it delivered to your office.
Oh,
there's nothing better than four bottles of wine showing up in your office and your workmates going, what's that? And it's like, it is my four bottles of wine. And they're like, oh, can we see them? Like, no. My wine.
They were chosen specifically for me by the wine gallery's taste
not
test.
For you.
I received my Susan. First delivery just slightly before Christmas, and I have to say it's rather a nice experience. You get a very, you know,
getting
it's nice.
Things in the mail.
It was a box of wine, a box of wines rather, not a box of wine.
A box of bottles of wine.
Sitting by the door as I came home. Oh, you know, it has a carry handle. It's a very elegantly designed box.
So it's what you're trying to say is travel size.
Travel size, very, very travel friendly.
Good. I should say. You good
could,
to know.
You could start walking with that baby immediately.
And I will.
But not from Andy's house, right? You're not stealing Andy's wine.
Oh, of course not.
But they don't stop there. They have a team of sommeliers who compile these wonderful tasting notes and food pairings. This one has a recipe on the back. It's recommended to go with a steak bordelais.
Mm. What's a bordelais?
It's a sauce.
Oh, okay. Right.
I'm really glad they send us these notes because otherwise I'd be like, it is a wine that tastes like grapes.
And it is red, not white.
It is a dark color.
Now, having had a bit of cheese, Chanstan, does it change the flavor at all?
It definitely changes the flavor, but I know even less how to process that flavor.
Right. As I say, it does taste like a jalapeno popper. Mm. I don't quite know how else to describe it.
I've never had a jalapeno popper. But where are we drinking this?
Yeah, I want to know where we're drinking this.
Go along with me on this, right?
All right. Okay. Yeah. Because I also journey. Have a journey to take you all.
Okay.
Oh, me too.
And it seems a little bit... Anyway. I'm drinking this at a wine tasting.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that feels like a really lazy way.
No, but like
and a really short journey.
That's why I was like, just go with me. Because I just think it's this weird, strange flavor that you would only taste at a wine tasting.
Mm,
they give
that.
You very contrasting flavors to taste to see what you like. Or not at, if not that, at like one of those, not like a... Oh, it's just a fancy wine tasting, like at a at one. At
either a wine tasting or, you know, one of those fancier wine tastings.
Where there's like a helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm drinking this and I'm getting very drunk. Anyone else? No?
Yeah, I'm thinking of I can think of nothing other than a Heston Blumenfeld inspired restaurant where things aren't what you expect them to be.
Okay,
like the ice cream tastes like eggs and bacon. The the coleslaw salad is a custard pudding, and the wine tastes like a deep fried jalapeno.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
That's
I'm
a great
it.
Explanation.
I would enjoy that meal once. Yes. Zane, what was your journey?
Go back with me to the golden age of alchemy.
You
were in an underground stone room experimenting with all the different chemicals and making little puffs of smoke and titrating liquids into other liquids and you're drinking this wine as inspiration because it goes through four different phases in my mouth and I'm still not sure if I particularly like it, but I'm not going to stop drinking it.
No,
look, that
is very weird.
That is exactly my aesthetic you've just described. <Yeah. right?
laughs> See, now I've said on this podcast before that I don't have good taste memory. And as such, I generally, if I see something that's a new flavor, I'm going to try the fuck out of it.
Okay.
Because I'm probably not going to remember it. I am in the middle of Coles in the chip section. And there's like a
campfire flavored chips.
Yeah, and I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm trying that, and it happens to be this wine. That is what's happening to me right now.
Okay, I have one last journey to take you on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I recently went to Hobart on a holiday.
Congratulations on returning. Oh,
thank you.
Alive.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a close call. We almost didn't return. So we went to the Museum of Old and New Art, which was amazing, like mind-blowingly good. And there was this exhibit where you look at this like crazy trippy light show and then you get put into a pitch black room. And I cannot stress to you how pitch black this room is, like the blackest black you have ever been in your life. And this would go really well
in that room,
sitting on my tongue in the pitch black, black room.
Just like total desensitization, yep, just with this in your mouth.
And you're just sat on they were these massive leather armchairs that you feel your way to.
Oh, wow.
And sit down, and I could go for a glass of this in that room.
So okay, it's like a Black Mirror wine.
It does. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. It is unlike anything else.
It's an amazing wine.
Yeah.
I would suggest that everyone try it at least once.
Yeah.
It just raises questions.
Yeah. It does.
Invite your friends over, give them a glass, see what they taste.
Yeah. Don't warn them. No, see what happens.
That's what we're doing.
Maybe they'll turn into a llama.
Just say it's a cab sav and see their face go.
You like, Andy told me this was a cab sav. I was like, oh, good. I like cab sav. Yeah. I know what to expect. Wrong.
Not this time. Not from Chateau Vacombe. So we've had the wine.
Yes.
We've had our analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for the whining.
And
who
it's
has
the best
something?
Part? Look, I've got a little something. It's a little smidge.
Okay, that's all right. Okay.
I was brought up poor.
Welcome.
You say that like it was a choice.
Well, you know, I was coming down. I was like, fuck, which family? And I was like, ooh, the ones that are giving birth in the middle of a block of flats in Darwin. Let's do that one.
Saying it like that immediately makes me think of a Fry and Laurie sketch where they're talking about a biography of Hugh Laurie and saying that Hugh Laurie grew up in a poor house that his parents purposely had built on their Gloucestershire estate.
That's pretty much how it was. But like Eugenia, I was brought up poor, so I have the poorness instilled in me.
Yeah, it never leaves you.
Yeah, no, it never leaves you. For the brief period of time that I worked in a bank and had disposable income, I was still poor at heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
As such, I always, and I can't help this, this is more of a complaint about myself, but also complaining about people.
Mm.
I cannot stress how annoyed I get at people who just swing their car doors open.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yes. Whoa, look at you, big dick money bag, just opening doors like it's nothing.
What do you mean swinging their car doors open?
So like if you're in a car park?
I'm not sure why this relates to growing up poor. But.
Oh, because like when we get out of the car, we like, I don't care if the next car is like three parks away. I'm like, I'm not hitting that car. Am I not?
You can't afford to help
fuck
them.
No,
fix
I don't
it.
Have insurance. Right. Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. I'm brought up with insurance and I don't have insurance now. And yeah,
I mean, you have compulsory third party insurance, right, Chancellor?
Not for opening car doors. That's if I open my car doors so hard that it completely ruins the registration of their vehicle, which unfortunately I cannot do. So the insurance isn't going to cover me.
Unless you develop some sort of mutation and become an X-Men.
Fingers crossed.
That would be just the worst X-Men superpower.
Plus,
no, that'd be great. You just lift your sunglasses like Cyclops and just disintegrate the evidence.
but still, I would have that poorness at heart. So I'd still be like, open the car door, put my hand in between it, make sure it's not. And I've driven so many people around recently where they just like open the car door like it's nothing. And I'm like, I have a heart attack each time it happens.
Can I make you anxious right now?
Oh, please do.
The car that I got around this time last year, it's my dad's car. And the driver's side doesn't stop opening.
You know
how cars should open to a point and then they just stay there?
Yeah.
The driver's side doesn't.
It doesn't have that.
No. It doesn't stop. So it keeps going. So I have to hold the door while with my left hand trying to grab everything. And if it doesn't, even if it's like a slight little bump on the car, I'm like, get out. No, lock the door. Like, leave.
My leg is constantly perched. So it's making sure the door doesn't move if I'm getting stuff out.
But mine
flexible
opens outward, not inward. Actually, it does both. It's a bad door. Just doesn't it
sounds,
like me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound much like a working door.
No. I mean, it opens, so that's nice.
No, that's good. But does it close?
It does, but it just does so, it does both very excitedly. You know what I mean?
So is it you're annoyed at yourself that you have that reaction, or it's just a part of you and you're annoyed by other people when they don't behave the same way?
It's both. I know I have a problem, but that doesn't stop me.
Because I'm the same. I have idiosyncrasies exactly the same way from my upbringing my father and mother especially said, don't ruin things. Always, you know, keep things wrapped up nicely. Keep them in their boxes. Put everything back in its back in its spot. And I have a really annoying tendency to do that.
Yes. Yeah. When I wash dishes, because me and my wife work differently, I wash dishes as I go.
Mm-hmm.
I eat a meal, I wash that dish, and I put it away because I don't like washing dishes. Okay. So if I do it now, I don't have to do it later.
Yeah.
My wife lets it build up. So we can wash it. So I end up washing it.
Of course.
But it sucks because it's getting to the point where it's kind of rubbing off on me and I won't wash a dish. And then she gets angry at me for it. I'm like, oh no, I'm becoming her, but she's becoming me.
That's marriage for you.
Yeah, exactly. We are actually just one person.
Yes,
it's just one lifelong escalation until one of you dies. And then you throw the dishes away.
Yeah. That was part of our vows, actually. Mm. From death do we part, as well as the dishes.
So does anybody else have any other gripe to address?
I have like a big gripe.
Yeah, we can give it up.
It's mid-January. There's nothing important going on. Some people are still on holiday, so they've got plenty of time.
Yeah, people are on holidays. We need to make them angry, Joe.
Well, I don't know, because when I gripe about this, like 99% of the population is like, what are you talking about?
Okay, give it a go.
So as a trans person,
yes.
As a non-binary person, the fucking gender binary though, like why is everything categorized into man or woman?
Because pink.
Because
pink sells.
But
it's convenient. Pink the color, not pink the artist.
No, pink the artist.
No, because it's pink the artist.
You see, I have the same issue. Especially colors. Because like blue and pink were traditionally 100 years ago, exact opposite.
The other way around.
Yeah. Pink was masculine because it's visceral, and blue was calming like women. I don't know what women they were hanging around, but apparently blue didn't come along.
Gina.
Women who
Gina, I think we can agree.
Clearly these women had gone through some hysteria therapy.
Ah, clearly, yes.
I will kill everyone on this podcast.
Prove you all right.
The thing that shits me is public bathrooms. Yeah. I'm like, if I go into a public bathroom, why can't I just have a toilet and a sink and a door? Like, that's what I need. Why do we have to have communal sinks and then communal toilets? You could just bunch them together and then it doesn't matter. No line for the ladies, no disgusting, filthy men's. You know, everybody's just
everyone
happy.
Will have lines and they're all disgusting.
Yeah.
I will say, I work at a place that has bathrooms. It's a shopping center that has bathrooms that all the shops share.
Ooh.
Now, I do not venture into the girls' bathrooms or the women's bathrooms for obvious reasons, but consistently the women's bathrooms are the most disgusting.
Is that right?
See,
consistently.
How do you know?
The cleaners tell us.
Ooh, why do you think that is?
I have no idea.
I have this whole theory that it's like men will only be hygienic when they think they have to impress a woman, and women will only be hygienic when they think they have to look better than men.
Okay, hear me out.
I will hear you out.
I've known messy men, but I know a lot. Men that I've known and lived with and all been around with. Classic Gina.
Around with.
Classic.
Don't define anything, Gina. By all means.
An excellent sentence.
They've been quite clean. Like I'm a messy gal, not a dirty gal. Like I'm a messy gal. And the guys that I've been around, they're like, they're the ones washing the dishes first. They're the ones like, what do you want me to do with this? And I don't think it's to impress me. I think it's just most of the time how it is. What do you think?
I think the trouble is it's like if there's one disgusting man who thinks he doesn't have to clean up, then that's all it takes for the whole place to be absolutely filthy.
I know.
Filthy.
Yes, see, I agree. Yeah.
I have known a lot of gross men.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And like more gross men than gross women.
Yeah, I agree.
I haven't had the pleasure of knowing too many gross women. It's kind of disappointing.
Well, that's kind of, I think that's why I would lean in saying that men are grosser than women because
they're allowed to be.
Or maybe the degree of grossness in men is greater than the degree of grossness in women.
Now, also hear me out on this. I think it is because men are allowed to be gross. Yes, it's gross, but that's what we expect of men.
See, whereas if
women are funny.
No, they're not. They're not.
They are, Gina. They are.
They're so.
Don't worry, Gina. I'm on your side.
That's just another clear problem with the gender binary is that even like hygiene is gender binary.
Yeah, yeah. No.
What the fuck is that? We are humans.
Exactly. Like, just fucking clean yourself, hey. Like,
I'm a man. I can clean myself if I want.
If you can't pee in the bowl standing up, then pee in the bowl sitting down.
You know what? I'll tell you something that really pissed me off recently. I had someone staying with me. Anyway. And I had...
that was it.
I had someone staying with me and it was... unbearable. There was another person in my vicinity.
Oh, God.
They breathed probably the same air that I was breathing.
How disgusting. Dare
they? I could not deal with it.
What did this person do, Gina?
No, okay. So I had cleaned half the house. And since I'm a messy person, this is a big feat for me.
Well done. Congratulations.
Plus, well
thank
done.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Gina.
And this was also at a period of time when I was so busy, but I still had to clean this house, right?
Mm.
And I cleaned this house. I cleaned the bathrooms and they were sparkling fucking clean. Lovely. All right. So if I clean, I clean. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I cleaned the toilet to fucking perfection. And then I go into the toilet maybe a day or two later. Guess what's in there?
A turd.
A turd. A floating turd.
Not a turd, but there were skid marks on my pristine toilet. And I was like, you are a guest in this house. You clean.
Yeah, but what have you been feeding your guest?
Because that's weird. It's weird, Gina.
Clean yourself up.
You're not welcome here anymore, skid mark. That's it.
Be gone, Satan.
Pack your bags in the morning, you're out of here.
I only keep skid marks as guests, really.
Of course.
They are quiet.
Yeah, they don't pay rent, though.
True.
That do you have a conveniently placed toilet brush, though?
Oh, it's fuck out in the open. Yes.
Okay, so he was
who
just
doesn't?
No,
as in because some people don't have it out in the open or for whatever reason.
Yeah, they're ashamed
of the toilet
cleanliness.
My mother does keep it in the cabinet under the sink.
Really? Mm. But what if you need it?
I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know. I didn't even realize she did it until I moved out and didn't do it, and then I went back home and you're like,
why do you do that?
See, I have so many things like that. Like my partner does so many things like that where it's like he does that because his mother did that. And I'm like, are you doing this because it actually is the best way to do it? Or are you doing it because this is what your mum does?
Tradition.
Oh, I'm just used to doing it that way.
Yeah.
Until you move out on your own and you have a think about it.
Except he hasn't. Second. So I'm like, justify to me why this is the optimal setup. And if you can't,
if
I will do it my way.
If you're not for yourself, I will think for you.
Exactly.
Also, just to speak of nothing to do with that.
Okay. Nice segue.
Smooth.
I really quickly want to rant about Valentine's Day since it's coming up. Okay, right. If you're single, you are one looked out with pitiful eyes. And then if you're like, oh, why don't we do something with your friends? They're like, yeah, let's do a Lonely Hearts Club. No, why don't we just get together and have fun? Or even if you try to spend it alone, it's like, oh, she's spending it alone. Or if you're in a couple, there's so much pressure.
Mm.
The flowers are more expensive. Yep. The chocolates are more expensive. I don't want a fucking teddy bear. I'm 22 years old. And if you're seeing someone, then there's the expectation like, oh, do I get something? Am I an asshole if I don't? What do you get men on Valentine's Day? And then, you know, I don't want someone I'm seeing to be pressured into doing that, but I also don't want to receive fucking nothing.
That's the best place this man could have gone.
But
plot twist.
Okay, yeah.
Seems like what you want to do is talk to your partner.
I was about to say.
A little bit of communication, maybe.
That's literally, no. Me and my partner, we spoke to each other. We're like, hey, do you care about Valentine's Day? No.
No.
No? Okay, let's not fucking bother.
I think that's why I feel so sorry for people who get into a relationship in January. Because you're like,
you're not at that point yet.
Do we know each other well enough to have this talk about what Valentine's Day means?
Yeah, but
because I hate it, but maybe they really like it.
You know what? A great universal gift? Bottle of wine.
Actually, you know what? Amazing.
That's the wine gallery.
Or a subscription.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, seriously. Bottle of wine.
That's a good idea.
Put a nice bow on it or something.
I think it's more the fact that...
Let's get drunk.
Honestly, you can put a bow on anything.
I've been single at Valentine's Day, and I've also been in relationships at Valentine's Day. And if I'm single, it's pitiful, and people, you know, it's like, oh, God, especially being a woman. It's like, you poor fucking doll.
That's a woman thing. Or maybe I just don't care. But yeah, when I was single, Valentine's Day was the best because I'm pretty sure I watched Meet the Spartans, didn't pay for it, paid for another movie, snuck in with a gay friend of mine on Valentine's Day. And it was just us watching a shitty movie.
That sounds like the best date.
It was great. I'm pretty sure he wasn't into me because he was taken at the time. So
look, a little handsy feel up in the background.
Well, who cares? We're in a cinema. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah,
but like
no homo.
When I was in a relationship on Valentine's Day, like I wanted something, but I also felt bad for wanting something. But I also felt bad because it would cost that person so much more on Valentine's Day. But I also think I'm one for gestures. For instance, I'm more about the fact like, don't buy me flowers on my birthday, buy me flowers when I'm sad.
Yeah,
that shows me that you care.
Yep.
So when they buy me flowers on Valentine's Day, I'm like, you're doing this because it's expected, not because you think it's cute.
Because
but if you don't, I'm gonna hate you anyway, because then you haven't put in any effort, have you?
What if they did though? What if they painstakingly selected the bouquet?
They never do. Let's not be like that.
I always like try and figure out, because my wife's tastes change almost every year. So I try and figure out like through subtle secret me asking her, I find out what flower she likes a couple weeks beforehand.
It's subtle. Women are onto this stuff.
You go, hey, I'd like to get you a gift for Valentine's Day. What do you need and or want that I could get you and would be useful to you?
Oh, shit, I just bought essential oil for her for Christmas. That would have been perfect for Valentine's Day.
Get her a candle.
No, candles was last year. She was into candles last year. She oils.
Get her a rabbit. They're illegal.
Ooh, now that
is... crime is romantic.
It is. Have you seen...
Any crime movie?
Any crime movie. Sure, Pulp Fiction sounds great.
Not the one I would have gone for.
No, but you know, at the start, they're like, oh, I love you, honey bunny. I love you too, whatever the fuck. And they're get down, okay, cool. You know what I mean?
You want a diner and Clyde together. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I would fully like if Phil was like, hey, it's Valentine's Day, let's go rob a diner. I would be like, yeah.
I'd be slightly concerned.
I hope your partner is
listening. I think that is a good toast. So here's to Bonnie and Clyding it on Valentine's Day.
Cheers.
Bonnie and Clyde. Clink, clink.
They die at the end of that, right? They get shot like a whole bunch?
Oh, a whole bunch. Just the most.
Oh, spoilers.
That sounds
Hello.
Perfect.
Spoilers to history, Gina.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. And if you want to find us at our home of the web, that's notcanonproductions.com. Thank you to our guests.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's what I'm here for.
And now, Joe, you forgot you last time.
I did. When I was here 2 weeks ago, it literally slipped my mind. But if you happen to be in the Venn diagram that I am in, which is the intersection between people who drink a shitload of wine and people who play a shitload of video games, you should head on over to listen to Cutscene Saga. You can find us on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Cutscene Saga, or you can head over to thatsnotcanonproductions.com.
And we'll put a link in the show notes as well.
And we'll put a link in the show notes. Couldn't be easier.
Can I just say, Joe is excellent at plugging.
Would you like to plug
John stuff?
Let's see if I can. I Venn diagrams... wine and mayonnaise. This is the bullet points, guys.
It's going well.
If you're in my particular Venn diagram of wine and movies, and you can follow us on the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers, which can be found on your favorite podcast app and also at thatsnotcanonproductions.com. And while you're at it, my short film from last year, Pizza Deliverance, is now public.
Ooh.
You can find it on both Facebook and Vimeo because we wanted the lowest possible demographic and the high class demographic at the same time. No middle ground. YouTube can fuck off. What?
Yeah, huzzah. Yes, very good.
But yeah, that's out. Pizza Deliverance. Check it out. I get my face smashed in it. It's great.
Yay. It is great.
Cheers to that.
And if you're in the Venn diagram of drinking wine and complaining, listen to all our previous episodes. Oh,
good plug, Gina.
Or just message me and I'll come over.
I didn't know you provided that service.
I can and I will.
Oh, fantastic.
What are we drinking next week?
We are drinking spur of the moment decision. We are drinking
the best
some,
kind of decision.
We're drinking some Beckland Shiraz.
Oh, huzzah.
From South Australia.
Very nice.
What a good time.
Oh, coming back home.
So if you have the time, go on winegallery.com.au. This is another one of theirs. And purchase a bottle to drink with us next week.
Lovely.
Or perhaps four bottles of wine, one of which will
be free.
And if you get the four bottles of wine, then it is free delivery. And of course, you get $25 off at the
checkout, not register.
If you
where you
the
see
code,
your checkout chick and you go, hey, how you doing? You have that awkward, like, small talk.
Yeah.
Avoid eye contact, talk about existentialism. It's great.
Different experiences.
Really? Always talk about how much life doesn't make sense to my checkout chicks.
I'm sure they probably like it better than the small talk they get all the other time.
It's true.
But use the code glass of wine with an H at the checkout for $25 off. You'll love it.
And once again, don't forget to Bonnie and Clyde at this Valentine's Day.
Cheers.
Farewell,
cheers,
everyone.
Bye.
The world is a mess. War, famine, politics.
Why can't everyone just get along?
Yeah, like in musicals. Musicals fix everything.
If people listened and learned from musicals, everything would be better.
Music, lights, and spontaneous choreography. What isn't there to love?
If you want to learn all of life's important lessons,
or just listen to some musical theatre nerds wax lyrical,
subscribe to Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, wherever you find fun and funny podcasts.
Or at our website at thatsnotcanonproductions.com.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.